As always, it's a privilege to stand before you, and I certainly hope that the lesson prepared this evening will give you some encouragement and some comfort and some hope. And understand that God has a plan for each and every one of us, but the plan, it depends upon the decisions we make in our lives. A lot of times people might have the idea that God is in control of every aspect of our life and takes away free will, free choice. I want to look this evening at Pilate during the trial of Jesus, where he washed his hands of the whole thing. If you would, join with me in Matthew chapter 27. We know the story of the trial of Jesus. He went to the Jews first, and the Jews brought him to Pilate, and Pilate questioned him and reasoned with him, and he had the understanding that Jesus had done nothing wrong. And when he couldn't prevail over the crowd, in verse 24, when Pilate saw he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was arising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." We've all seen people do things in a ceremonial type way. It was a way for Pilate to say he didn't approve of what was happening. But Pilate had the authority to stop what was happening. We're going to look at Pilate and some of the things that he did, some choices that he made, to see how this developed his character. And the idea behind all of this is that we can develop our own character, and we can choose to do what's right rather than give in to what is wrong. Pilate was not a very good example of what was right. But we see that over time, our lives are a compilation of decisions that we make, and it develops our character. What we do, what we think, how we react to certain things. It all goes to develop who we are. God is in control. I understand that. I don't deny that. But God gives us some control as well. Amen. We don't give all control to God because we have to make decisions in our lives. Things that matter in our lives. God has given us His Word to instruct us so that we know what to think, what He considers right. But sometimes we get lost in what is right and what is wrong. It's the moral conduct of society that puts pressure upon us. And as we know, over the last 6, 8 months, a year, whatever it's been, the moral conduct of this country has been shown to be fading away from the will of God. It goes to a different place. It goes to the political correctness. And if you get tired of hearing that PC term, I get tired of it too. But it's so infused in our lives. We have to deal with it. We have to understand what the world thinks is right so that we'll know how to deal with the world. We can't agree with the world because 99 times out of 100, they're going to be wrong. But the idea is God 100% of the time will be right. So you see, when a life is not built on the Word of God, on the character of God, on the commands of God, our character will change with the direction of the wind. That's a sad thought, isn't it?
Amen.
But 50 years ago, would the world then accept the world as it is now? Would there be a whole lot of hoopla about what's going on now when you compare it with then? There would be more people that would be standing up for what is right, making their opinions known, casting their votes and whatever else, so that the majority of the people will understand what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
Today, though, it doesn't work quite that way. So, we're going to study this evening Pilate and the things that he did that weren't quite up to par. I want to look at some background on Pilate so we can kind of understand what had been shaping him for quite a few years. Pilate was involved with a very corrupt government. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the procurator was a personal servant of the emperor, directly responsible to him, and was primarily concerned with finance. You know what they say? Where the money is, that's where the attention's going to be. And that's what was concerning the Caesars and the emperors and all of those, and that's what was concerning Pilate, was the money of the thing. Now, he also had other authority. He also had other concerns he had to deal with, trying to keep the Jews in line and such as that, so that he wouldn't be called down by the emperors and all of that. So he had to balance things in a way that would keep him out of trouble, to allow him to keep his job and turn around and actually rule the people and satisfy the Caesars. So he had a plate full, didn't he? When things were going good, he had a good and easy life. But when things were going bad, it was very difficult for him. So that played a lot in the role of what decisions he made as far as how he treated Christ and the Jews and such as that. So with all that bearing in mind, we'll understand where the pressures came to bear upon him. It was also likely he had some sort of a military experience. Again, from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, as a rule, a procurator must be of an equestrian rank and a man of certain military experience. There again, that gave him some qualifications as far as ruling over the people. It wasn't just a popularity contest. It wasn't a popular vote or anything like what we were talking about earlier before services started. But it was a place that the emperor would put people, certain people that he would trust, to take control and to handle the situations as they came about. So it gave him a sort of discipline, if you will, on how he should act and how he should react to certain things. So he had probably had a military experience. He also tried to intimidate. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 13. This is Pilate, not at his worst, but close to his worst. Listen to what this says here, beginning in verse 1. There were some present at that season, some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. We don't know a lot about the people that Jesus is talking about here, but we do see Pilate's history. And he took the blood of the people and mingled with their sacrifices. That means he did some harm to them. He tried to intimidate them. The Galileans' blood was mingled with their sacrifices. That's rough, isn't it? But then you turn right around and see him at the trial of Jesus. He couldn't persuade the crowd to do what was right. So he gave in. Yeah, on the one hand, you have a man that ruling with an iron fist, and on the other hand, you have a man that was ruling with the will of the people. And they were both the same man. So as much as he tried to intimidate, as much as he tried to have this tough person persona, the Jews still knew that they could persuade him. That's a little bit of the background of Pilate. In Matthew 27, we're actually looking at the trial of Pilate. We understand Jesus was on trial and it was at his will that he was on trial. But Pilate was also on trial as well. And we need to look at this and understand this, because there are times when we are on trial. And we need to make the right decisions at the right time to satisfy God and not the people. Pilate was on trial for the decisions he was going to make. God was watching. God knew this was going to happen. In Acts 2, in the sermon that Peter preached, he said all this was done at the foreknowledge of God. But then again, it was done at the free will of man. So these things are being watched, and they were going to be held accountable, just like we're going to be held accountable for the things that we do in our lives and the way that we live. Pilate saw hypocrisy. If you would, turn to Matthew 27. We'll start in verse 15. Now this is a man that's supposed to rule over the people, supposed to settle arguments and make decisions and all this and do what's right. But look what it says here, beginning in verse 15. At the feast of the governor, now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they gathered together, Pilate said to him, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew they had handed him over because of envy. He knew the only reason Jesus was standing before him was because the Pharisees were envious. They were jealous. They hated him for what he was. Let me rephrase that. They hated him for who he was, speaking and teaching and prophesying. They didn't understand he was the Messiah. But they were envious of him. And this ruler knew it. And instead of putting his fist down and saying no, he finally gives in and says, "Crucify him." This is a sad state of affairs when hypocrisy can be a fearful thing. When they can see the hypocrisy of a group of people and then bow down to that hypocrisy. And that's basically what Pilate did. He could have stood up and said, "No, I'm not going to do this. This isn't right. It isn't just." But he didn't do that. He was even warned by his wife. If you would, look at 27 and verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." In that day and age, they put a lot of emphasis on dreams. They believed it was their deities trying to tell them something. Here, Pilate was told by his own wife, "Do nothing to this man. Do nothing to this just man." She understood Jesus was innocent of all these charges. Innocent of the blasphemy the Jews had called out. Innocent of defaming the Sabbath day. Innocent of all the other things. And they still didn't care. And apparently Pilate didn't care either. Because even with his wife saying, "Do nothing to this just man," he still went ahead and gave in. Pilate was listening to the truth. Pilate was hearing it from other people. He was hearing it from his wife. And it still did not affect his character enough to tell him to change what was going on. The Jews were going to get what they wanted, and it didn't matter how they got it. In fact, the Jews were actually lying to Pilate. And I think Pilate saw that and understood that. And it still didn't change his mind. So you see, Pilate ignored the truth. If you would turn to John chapter 18. John 18, beginning in verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come to the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head. They put on a purple robe. And they all said, "Hail, king of the Jews." This is a sad event in anyone's life. When they look at the situation and do nothing. A A lot of times in today's society, we make movies of people that stand up and do the right thing. There are all types of stories of martyrism. There's all types of stories of heroes that go into battle and come out victorious. There's all kinds of stories of people sacrificing their lives for a cause, for a principle, for morality. And we hold them up in high esteem. God is telling us to be that way every day of our lives.
Amen.
Not to buckle under the pressure. Not to say political correctness will guide me, but that the Word of God will guide me. When we stop and think about what we have to put up with, we can do it a lot under our breath. But there will be a time to come that you're going to have to stand up and be accountable.
Amen.
And the thing is, are you going to be strong enough to do it? We all need to be strong enough. And we do that by being stronger in the faith. So you see, Pilate was under trial because he did not do what was right. Pilate was under trial and going to be judged by God for what he did, for what he allowed, for what he gave in to. So we need to look at Pilate's middle ground, see just exactly what or how weak he really was. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 23. You ever been in a situation where you just didn't want to make a decision and you found a way to pass the buck? Pilate was trying to pass the buck here. Luke 23, beginning in verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man, Jesus, was a Galilean. As soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, sent him back to Pilate. And that day Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Can you stop and think about that? Pilate thought he found a way out. Pilate thought he had a way to where he didn't have to make the decision. So he sent him back to Herod. Let Herod deal with him. Herod couldn't find anything wrong with him either. Herod sent him back to Pilate. Put him back square in his lap. So he's going to have to make some sort of decision. When you're up against a wall, when you have to make that decision, what do you do? Do you evaluate what it will cost you? Do you evaluate how much you're going to suffer for it? How much you will have to sacrifice for it? There are times in people's lives where they have to stand up and take a chance. Years ago, about 27 years ago, I worked for a guy at a stereo store. I worked there for close to 16, 17 years. He came up to me one day and said, I need you to work late. Great, overtime. I'll take it. I need you to tend bar. Wait a minute. Can't do that. We had a conversation about it. He told me, since I was not going to do it, to see him after work. I called my wife, told her I might be employed after this day is over with, but I was not going to tend bar. I wasn't going to do that. Now he called me in his office and he made up some questions and stuff. So, will you go to restaurants and bars and stuff? Well, I go to restaurants where they have a bar, but I don't participate with the bar. Don't drink. Don't want it. Don't like it. I've seen alcohol turn people's lives upside down.
Amen.
I have a strong hatred for alcohol. Wouldn't bother me if every distillery and brewery and whatever else goes broke tonight. But that's a whole different story and a whole different lesson. He said, well, I need you to play janitor and clean up after everybody. That I can do. I had no problems with doing that. After all those years, he understood where I was at. He understood that I wasn't going to do anything that violated my conscience. I told him up front, it's a religious thing. It's scriptural. I do not do alcohol. I'm not going to serve it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. We got past it. But it was one of those times where I didn't know, being married, what, maybe 2 months, if I was going to come home with a job or not. Now, I don't say this to brag on myself, but I say this because people are going to have to face these types of situations. Amen. You're going to have to take a step of faith. Some people call it a leap of faith. And let the cards fall where they may. Sometimes you're going to have to do the right thing no matter what the consequences are. Pilate didn't do that. He avoided making the decision until the very last minute. He tried to put the blame on somebody else, and it still didn't work. He was going to have to make that decision. That's why I think God was testing him. And he came out on the short end of the stick, if you will. So what was his solution? Back in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That's a weak-willed person, isn't it? He gave in to the Jews. He was not going to do the right thing. And we can look at him with contempt, can't we? He still had freedom of choice, even though it was God's plan. He still had the freedom to change his mind. And God would have had a way of dealing with that. Because he wouldn't have been in that position in the first place, I guess. The idea of Pilate's solution was failure. Failure to do what was right. He gave in because he saw he couldn't prevail. Now, if he'd been following God, following Christ, and listening to the teachings such as that, as some of these Gentiles were doing, he could have stood on the side with God. Took that leap of faith to see what would happen. But it didn't work that way. He made a choice. Just like Judas made a choice. Just like David, as we're studying on Wednesday night, made a choice. You go all the way back to Genesis and think about Joseph and the choices that he made. And you can see the contrast between the two. It can be done. The right choices can be made. Pilate's solution was not the right solution for the situation. So we go to God's judgment. And this is where the lesson gets very poignant to us. Because God's judging us, just like He's judging Pilate. And we have to make sure that we're in sync with what the Bible says. Pilate wanted clean hands, but he certainly didn't get them clean. Just by washing his hands ceremoniously in front of people does not make what he did right. He gave them his blessing. He said, you see to it. And the people said, that's fine. His blood be upon us and our children. Thanks, Mom and Dad. That's not a really good choice to make either, is it? That's a choice that was made. Pilate wanted clean hands, but was under pressure from the people. Acts 13 and verse 28. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him and took him down from the tree and put him in a tomb, God raised him from the dead. You go back and look, God's going to be the winner of every situation, of every bad decision, of every choice that we have to make. God is going to bless us when we do right.
Amen.
Always. We may not see it as a blessing at the time, but it will be a blessing nonetheless. And that's a leap of faith we all have to take. And sometimes it's difficult because we can't see what's in front of us. We can't see the step and we think we're going to fall. But God, in one way or another, will make it right for us. The people asked Pilate to crucify, to murder an innocent man. Pilate knew he was innocent. His wife knew he was innocent. A lot of the people knew he was innocent. And it still didn't stop him from what he did. Were Pilate's hands clean? We would turn back to Acts chapter 4. Starting in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord, saying, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who, by the mouth of your servant David, said, why did the nations rage? Why did the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together and against the Lord and His Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were to gather together to do whatever your hand, your purpose, determined to be done. They had free will, but they did everything God knew they would do. They chose the path they took. The decisions they made determined their character. And unfortunately, their character can be seen. Just like Pilate saw the character of the Jews, that he was delivered up because of envy. We can see things like that as well. We can see what's right and what is wrong. We can understand and use our knowledge and our wisdom and our discernment to judge between right and wrong. And we can make right choices.
Amen.
Thing is, do we have the backbone to do it?
Amen.
Put it in a biblical term, do we have enough trust in God to do it? I think this world needs more people that will stand up for what God says is right.
Amen.
And not what political correctness says is right. So you see, our lives are a compilation of decisions that develop our character. We get into a pickle where we have to make a decision, and we see an easy way out like Pilate did, and we take it. And if it goes unnoticed by man, that easy way just got a lot easier, didn't it? A lot of politicians do that, don't they? Take that easy way out. They don't want to get caught by the peoples if it goes unnoticed. But eventually, all these things come to bear. Be sure your sins will find you out.
Amen.
We're often tested and tried. There are times when God will test us just to see where our character is. And when we pass the test, James says we're stronger for it. We should be looking forward to these tests. It doesn't mean that we have to enjoy them. The Bible says that when a father chastises his son, it's not pleasant in the beginning, but it's for our own good.
Amen.
When God chastises us, it's not pleasant, but it is for our own good. And whether he lets Satan have part of the control, or whether he lets us just make our own bad decisions, or whether or not he is the one that's doing it, it's always for our benefit. And sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we look and say, God, why did you let this happen? And a lot of times it's really not as bad as we think. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody that can do anything to really harm us. So I ask you a question this evening. What will God's judgment be for you? Will it be the same judgment as Pilate? Or will it be a judgment that he can say that you are my children, my faithful child? We all will stand before God. We'll all be judged. We have to be judged according to His Word. And that's why we're here, isn't it? Because of His Word. The Word that leads us to life. The Word that leads us to forgiveness. The Word that leads us to the best life we can have on this earth. A lot of times, people don't understand what the best is. They look at the best, and they think it's a $100,000 car in the parking lot, or $300,000 or $400,000 house on the hill. A lot of times people look at it and the clothes that they wear, the food that they eat, the places they get to go. Working at that stereo store, I came in contact with a lot of people who had a house here in town, who had a house on the northeast coast, who had a house in the country down in the Caribbean on one of those islands. They didn't have the best of life because they weren't following the Word of God. That's a sad situation, isn't it? Where people can have so much accumulated on this earth. That's why Paul said not to trust in riches, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and it causes all kinds of sorrow. If you look at your life and you say, well, I'm not really in the position I think I deserve to be, maybe God put you in that position so you wouldn't get that haughty attitude we talked about in Bible class this morning. Because on Judgment Day, you'll thank God for it. You don't need a $100,000 car. $15,000 or $20,000 car will get you from point A to point B. As long as it's got a good air conditioner in it, that's really all that matters, isn't it? I see a lot of head shaking on that one. And I think that's true. Now, I had an old wreck that I drove for a lot of years, but the air conditioner worked and it got good mileage, so I kept on driving it. We have to understand that God does things to give us strength.
Amen.
He encourages us and strengthens us by making these tests. Pilate failed. We have the opportunity not to fail. We have the opportunity to stand before God justified. And if you want to think you're happy in this life, when you pass that test and God says, "Welcome home," that's going to be the best test of all.
Amen.
The invitation says, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" That's what God wants us to do. Change our evil ways. We do that by becoming a child of God. If we have truly believed and truly repented, we can be baptized, we can be forgiven. And after all that has happened, if we stumble and fall, God's still long-suffering and forbearing. He is loving. He'll always accept a penitent heart coming home. But we cannot let the things of this world stop us like they did Pilate. We have to bear the burden of our own guilt, come before God and ask for forgiveness. And He will forgive.
Amen.
So if there's anything we can do for you this evening to help you in your walk with God, come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.